did survive it all, but obviously was a broken man after that. And it's a shame because he had a definite talent, but it, unfortunately it seems to have rather got to his head.
Margaret Fell, as you say, became his wife.
Mm.
Was he a family man? Do you think of him as a romantic person? I find this affair slightly implausible.
I don't think of him particularly as a romantic man. I think he was a relational man. I think clearly in his early days when he was preaching, he had a kind of charisma. And in fact, I think had some quite, there was talk anyway of not just his physique, as you described, Jonathan, but his eyes being quite startling and people were captivated by those.
And intimidated, apparently, too.
And indeed, yes, yes, it could probably hold people with a stare. But in terms of his personal relationships, I don't know, would I have liked to have related to him in a romantic sense. I think by then it was more a question of the sharing of values. And indeed, I suppose by the time of the 1688-89s, when were the acts of religious tolerance, it was becoming slightly easier for people to be more challenging in their
thoughts. Yes, I mean, that was very much at the end of his life.
Mm.
But I think to go back to Margaret Fell, it was clearly a relationship of the spirit rather than of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
When they married, he was already in his mid-40s, but severely depleted by awful experiences in prison. She was nearly a decade older, but they had this wonderful sense of companionship.
Mm.
And so it was a rather beautiful relationship. Also worth noting, of course, that very shortly, literally days after they got married, he went off again, and in that fact shortly would disappear off to the West Indies and America.
Yes, tell us a little about that. He was away for 2 years, wasn't he?
He was, yes. Of course, it took a long time to get to America in those days on a sailing ship. But he went first to Barbados and Jamaica, then to some of the colonies, notably Maryland, which was one of the few British colonies that was not persecuting religious dissenters. And it was this sort of second period of his life, because he was not trying to convert people or to convince them of the truth. He was visiting friends. He was travelling amongst people who already were Quakers, basically to support them. And this has become a tradition within the Society of Friends of travelling in the ministry, particularly visiting isolated groups of friends in odd parts of the world to meet with them and to share spiritual awareness.
You mentioned, Jonathan, that towards the end of his life, things eased up a lot in terms of religious persecution. Did he live long enough to benefit from that?
Not really. I mean, certainly he was no longer in danger of spending long periods of time in the most hideous dungeons, and some of them were awful, particularly Launceston in Cornwall, where he was literally covered with excrement from noon till dusk. It was just an awful situation. That sort of danger had largely dissipated. But he was physically a broken man. I mean, because of those imprisonments, including the 3 years in Scarborough, swept by the winds and constantly wet and cold. And so his last years were basically in London, quietly writing epistles, and he died in London in his sleep.
Do you, Anne, looking back on the life that it inspired not just a religious movement, but that inspired you, do you think that it was Quakerism that brought you to your personal odyssey of campaigning on social issues? Or do you think that you were always going to be that sort of social campaigner and have found a little bit of a prop in the Society of Friends?
I think my own sense of values comes from within me. But when I discovered that there was a framework called Quakerism with which it resonated, I felt I had come home, and I feel privileged to be part of a group worldwide that shares those values and puts them into practice.
You haven't mentioned God.
No, that's a word I don't find as easy to say, and I'm not entirely comfortable with, because I have a construction in my head of some